Welcome to Faith Renewed, a ministry of Faith Recovery Fellowship right here in Alaska. We believe that knowing Jesus as Lord is the most important decision anyone can make. And our mission is to share the true gospel with everyone. Join us today as Pastor Gus shares today's sermon, bringing a message of hope, restoration, and new life through Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that you would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ personally and experience the freedom and true salvation that's found in Him. You can learn more about our church ministries by visiting us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org. God is good. Jesus saves, and lives are changed when we surrender our lives to Him. Amen. I am thankful for the opportunity to be here again. I consider myself very blessed to be able to preach and to be able to support the ministry here at Faith Recovery. I am so thankful for that. It's been a real joy to be a part of this and to have the opportunity just to share God's word with you guys. And so one of the things that I wanted to touch on before we get started here is just kind of covering and clearing up last week. So last week we preached out of Romans. And so with that, what we saw in Romans 10, 9 through 10 was that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in him with your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. So our whole message last week, for those that weren't here or weren't listening, is based on the premise, or we really covered the cost of the cross. And so this is all part of our mini series here that we were working through called Counting the Cost of the Cross and Following Christ. And so it's important for us to understand what took place in order for us to be washed of our sins and to be forgiven of those. And so we covered that last week. It was a real joy to be able to step through that. We did it very deliberately through scripture, verse by verse, so that we could really explore what that cost truly was. And so this week, we're going to be exploring a different side of this. We're going to be exploring what it costs us to follow Christ or as a disciple. So we're going to be thinking through this from that perspective today. But for scripture, we are going to start today in 2 Timothy chapter 3. So if you guys would please stand with me for the reading of God's word. Again, we're going to be 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 17. Now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, and perseverance, persecutions and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured. Out of them all, the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give the wisdom and leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate and equipped for every good work. Lord, Father, just thank you for today. Again, we're just blessed to be here. I just ask that you be preparing our hearts for this message, Father, and that we would recognize the price that was paid on the cross to wash us of our sins, Father, and give us that forgiveness. And for today, we just ask that you be preparing our hearts for this message, that we would have a better understanding of what it takes to be a disciple, to be a follower of Christ, Father. Just pray that you would illuminate us through your scriptures and through this time of study, that you would just pour into our hearts the things that we need to hear, Father, so that we may be convicted in what we do and what we say and how we behave amongst others. And Father, that we may seek to glorify you in all that we do and say, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. As we jump into 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 17, I want you to know that there are a couple of things that we're going to pick out of this just to get started. 2 Timothy 3, verses 10 through 17 is going to be our starting point today. However, it's not going to be our ending point. We're not going to just stick within the confines of this particular text. We will be jumping around a little bit, but there's four things that we're going to take away from this scripture today, and we're going to apply it to this message and how we can apply it to our lives. And so I'm going to point out just a couple of things out of these verses that we just read so that we kind of have a better understanding. And so Paul at this point is speaking to Timothy, and he's telling him very specifically in verse 10, it says, "Now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance." So he's highlighting to him that he is a example for us to follow. So that's captured in scripture. So what's important really about that is that sometimes we look to other people in the temporal world, people that live with us here, and we seek to mimic them and follow them. Well, you got to consider back then who was, you know, the preachers and ministers and other Christians, who were they seeking to follow? You know, what were other Christian examples for them? And so he's speaking very specifically again to Timothy, and he's trying to encourage him and saying, hey, you've seen my teaching and my conduct and my purpose and my faith and my patience and my love and my perseverance. Look at me as an example. He talks about the fact that he suffered persecutions and sufferings, and those things happened to him while he was out traveling on mission. And so he says, what persecutions I have endured, and out of them all, the Lord has rescued me. So he's pointing out that although he suffered great persecution while he was out being obedient and preaching the word and sharing the good news, he endured these really terrible things, but the Lord rescued him from each of those times. And so it's important for us to recognize that we will be persecuted. We need to take that away from this message here today, that as a follower, as a Christian, we can experience persecution. And so we have to be willing to step into that. We have to be aware of that as we are followers of Christ. And we'll explore this more during the sermon. But jumping down to verse 12, he also talks about all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Again, two examples in two verses, right? One after another. Verse 13, but evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things that you have learned. And so what we could take away from that in verses 13 and 14 is that things of the world itself, will get worse. And so what he's pointing out to him is that things may be bad now. We may be being persecuted as Christians, but that's not going to end. They'll continue to happen. Things will get worse as time goes on, and that we need to be prepared for that. We need to be firm in what we know in about Christ Jesus and about in our faith and how we understand that. And jumping down to verse 15, it says, sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Verse 17, so that the man of God may be adequately equipped for every good work. So scripture has the answers to the problems that we encounter in our daily lives. And so as disciples, you know, as followers of Christ, we need to understand and look at this through the lens of what Paul's trying to relay here through the lens of scripture, is that he's telling Timothy very carefully, hey, things are going to get rough. Don't lose the faith, right? Stay firm in what you know. He's asking him to think back. So Timothy at this time, he's relying upon the Old Testament teachings is what he's referring to here, because he's asking him, you know, think about what your mother taught you, what your grandmother taught you. Think about what you've read and learned over the years in scripture, and that don't forget that all scripture is inspired by God and it's profitable for these things: teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness. So verse 17 clarifies that for us, because it says that the man of God may be adequate and equipped for every good work. So in order for us to be equipped for every good work, we need to know what's contained within the scriptures. So as we look at this set of verses, that's our framework for today. And if we look at the fact that we're going to be persecuted, that the world's going to get worse, that scripture has the answers for us, there is a reward for our obedience in the end. So those are the four takeaways that we're really going to be focusing on this afternoon. And I just ask that you would be thinking about this from the context of your current day life, what you're experiencing in your everyday, we all have challenges that are, you know, separate. They're not unique to only us, but how we handle those, how we experience those, what the circumstances are, those may change and those may be different from one another. But be absorbing this message and just be thinking about this through, how can I apply this to what's happening in my life right now? How can I apply this to the persecution that I might be suffering? If I'm a follower of Christ, what should I be doing? And so we're just going to take a step through this. And I also have to make it very clear that what we're covering here today in this message is a snapshot, okay? There is much that's required of us as Christians, and it's all contained and outlined for us in Scripture. Again, that's why it's so important for us to know what's in there. But in today, we're going to hit the highlights, right? These are just a couple of the things, but we could spend a month exploring discipleship, exploring what we should be doing as followers of Christ. We could spend even longer than that if we really wanted to get into it. So just understand that this is not all inclusive, but this is a starting point for us to work through together. And so as we begin, I want you to think about following Christ means that we need to die to ourselves. Has anybody heard that before? I'm sure we have. That we need to be standing firm in a world that is, you know, getting worse. And we need to be really just holding on tight to what the truth in the Scripture tells us, okay? So the truth here is that following Jesus means that we need to die to ourselves and that we need to be living for Christ. And so Jesus does not call us to comfort, okay? That's very clear in the Scriptures. He's not calling us and asking us to be comfortable in what we're doing. He is challenging us. And so we see that highlighted in Luke 9:23. So when he's speaking to the 5,000, he says, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." So the exhortation here, what Jesus was asking them to do is every day you need to pick up your cross. You need to follow me. Not on just Monday, Wednesday, Friday. This is a daily occurrence. You have to wake up and be primed and ready for the day and be seeking to walk as closely with him as we can. So loving Jesus must come before everything else, right? We've heard this saying to put Christ above everything else. We've heard that direction that we shouldn't have other idols, false idols. Okay. But let's look at the actual scripture and see what it says. Luke 14:26-27 can be kind of a challenging verse to digest. So we're going to spend just a minute here to look at this. But it says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." So this can be a little bit confusing, and like if we think about it in common terms, like common, like relevant terms and culturally today, but we have to just remember that the reason that Jesus spoke like this is so that it was relevant in conversation to the people in which he was speaking. So he spoke in such a way that they would understand it. And so to drive the point home here, what he's really saying is not that you hate your mother and your father and your brother and your sister, but that you don't elevate them above your walk with Christ, and that you should be seeking to make sure that in order to glorify God and in order to appropriately order your life, you need to make sure that Christ is the center, okay? Your priority, number one, you know, should be rightly ordered with following God, okay? And if you're unwilling to put your idols aside, even to the point in which you're not going to put your mother or your father above God, you cannot be his disciple. And that's very clear in Scripture. He says, "Whoever does not carry his own cross or come after me cannot be my disciple." Again, if you don't pick up that cross every day and you don't walk with that, you don't wake up ready to fight the good fight, if you are putting other things ahead of Christ or ahead of God, if you have other idols that take the place, then you are not a true disciple. And so, again, this is an exhortation. This is encouraging you to make sure that your life is rightly ordered. And so it also talks about in scripture that we need to be, that true disciples give up our worldly possessions and security, okay? So when I woke up this morning, I woke up in a house that has lots of things, just as most, almost everybody does, whether that be, you know, your favorite pair of tennis shoes, your favorite sweatshirt, whether that be kids' toys, whether that be, you know, your car or your favorite video game, you know, whatever it is, we all have possessions in this life. Maybe it's a watch, maybe it's a ring, maybe it's your glasses. There's a lot of possessions that we have that we kind of can take for granted, but we need to be good stewards of those things. But we also need to be aware that sometimes we can begin to idolize objects in our life and or things like your car. Maybe you spend a lot of time cleaning your car, but you spend no time in the Word of God. You know, that would be an example of where I don't prioritize my walk with Christ. I don't spend time studying the scripture, but I might spend 20 hours a week cleaning my car. Right? So there are times where this would be applicable in your life. And again, I asked you at the beginning of this to look back on your own life and be thinking about, is there anything, especially possessions, that you may be idolizing or putting ahead of your walk with God? And so in Luke 14:33, it says, none of you could be my disciple who do not give up all of his own possessions. And again, this is not about giving it all away. There may be a time in which you have to be prepared to do that. But the point is that those things cannot take the place of God. You need to be willing to leave those things behind. An example of that might be a missionary going to a foreign country. They are willing to get on an airplane and fly out with just only what's in their backpack, and they will leave everything else they have behind. Or they're willing to put it up for sale and sell everything they have to step out and fulfill the mission that God has given them. And so just be aware that this may be a calling on your life at some point in time, that you may be asked to leave all of these physical possessions behind to follow God and what he's asking you to do. So as a result of that, you know, one of the big takeaways here is that our life as a believer belongs not to us, but to Christ, right? So in Galatians 2 verse 20, it says that I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. We talked about this last week, that the price that was paid on the cross was paid not to make us feel better about ourselves or to glorify us. That sacrifice had to be made to atone for our sins, and Christ paid that ultimate price on the cross for us and was raised again 3 days later as a confirmation that that payment was fulfilled and that our sins had been washed. And so what we see here is that, again, it's not about us and what we want to do in our life. It is about living our life for Christ. We have to be willing in the flesh to have faith that what is contained in the Word of God, what truths are in here, what the promises of God are actually real. And that by following Christ and giving our life to them and proclaiming him as our Savior, and that we are seeking that salvation, that we will be able to experience glory in our life and that we would be in eternity with God. And so we have to understand that it's important that we are rightly ordered in that way, that we are seeking to put following God first as a priority in our life, and everything else is below that. We need to be different from the world because the world lives the opposite way. They live with a bunch of idols in place of worshiping God. And so even if it means that we have to suffer or be persecuted, we must put him first. And then moving into the next portion of this, we need to make sure that we are standing for Christ in that darkening world. So we talked about this earlier, that as the world gets worse or it's dark, as things get worse, as the scriptures tell us they will before they get better, we need to make sure that we are understanding what the implications are for us as followers. So the truth here is that faithfulness to Christ will lead to conflict with the world. And what I mean by that is, as a follower of Christ, there may be conflicts in the world as a result of that, because you may face that persecution. This could be persecution amongst your family. maybe you've given your life to Christ and you're a follower, a dedicated follower and a believer, and that has created a divide in your household, even amongst your immediate family that lives with you, husband, wife. You know, maybe this pertains to your parents. Maybe this pertains to your grandparents. Whatever it is, there are times where we're going to have this divide that comes about as a result of being a follower. And so in 2 Timothy 3:12, remember, if you look back to the scripture that we read earlier, it says, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. It's not an if, it's a when. This will happen. It's a guarantee that at some point as a follower of Christ, you will face persecution. In verse 13, it said that evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. The world will continue to grow more evil, more deceptive. But in John, he kind of expands upon this a little bit. In John 15, 18, he tells us that if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. And so if you guys remember, last week we talked a little bit about this in a kind of like in an oblique way, but sometimes we're going to face temptations in our life that are going to seem very particular to us. However, 1 Corinthians 10:13, it tells us that there's no temptation that's not common to man, that it would only be specific to us. Meaning, if I face persecution for being a follower of Christ in the workplace, for example, because I proclaim the name of the Lord, I share, you know, the gospel with somebody, and then there's some sort of persecution that comes from that, you know, I have to be ready to stand tall on that, but recognize, like we saw here in John 15, is that it's not that they hate you, they hated Christ first. And so the name that you're proclaiming is the problem that they have. And so what Christ is encouraging us is that we need to just be faithful. We need to know that persecution will come. Whether that just be how we live our lifestyle or whether we're proclaiming the word of God, there will be persecution from people and from the world. If you think about it right now and you look at Nigeria, for example, there's, without getting into the politics of it, there are tons of Christians that are being persecuted in the country of Nigeria and killed for being followers of Christ. We've seen this all through history about people being martyred for their faith, being killed because they were unwilling to deny their faith publicly and that they wouldn't convert to another religion. So that should be encouragement for us that other people have also faced these types of challenges that we face in today's world. That should be, you know, comforting for us to know that there are others that have come before us. And so society will sometimes confuse good and evil. And so we have to make a point here and say that sometimes the perception is that people believe they're doing something that's right. They're being a good person. But at the same time, they could be promoting something that is against what the scripture says. And so in Isaiah 5, verse 20, it says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Again, not diving into the politics behind it, there are times in the world that we see this in social media, on the news, on like really obvious public platforms where people are promoting things that are not biblical and that go against scripture. The world will call evil good. And so we have to be aware of that and understand that sometimes we have to stand tall in our convictions and we have to be prepared to share what the scripture says about that particular issue and be confident that what you're saying is truthful and aligned with your beliefs and that you can back it up with the word of God. But you have to be brave enough to stand up to people when that persecution comes, because a lot of times it's very hard for people to face that type of conflict. And so they will make exceptions. They will be, you know, maybe make some concessions in their faith. You know, oh, well, maybe I can just, you know, maybe I can just go the other way on this issue and everything will be fine. I don't want to upset people. So you have to be firm in this. Scripture tells us it will happen, But we need to be able to pick up our cross. We need to be able to stand tall and be willing to stand on the word of God, and that is the truth. So as the world gets darker, it doesn't mean that God is losing control or that he's not sovereign. Okay, this is part of his plan. All things happen on this earth in which he allows to happen. And we have to trust in that sovereignty that he has a plan. But scripture tells us well ahead of time that this type of stuff is going to happen. So this should be no surprise to us. So we have to be grounded in scripture.
As we close part one of this sermon, remember that Paul's charge to Timothy is not limited to pastors or church leaders. It is a call for every believer who desires to remain faithful in a world that increasingly rejects truth. God has not left his people unguarded or unprepared. He has given us his word, breathed out by him, fully sufficient for salvation, growth, and endurance. When suffering comes, when false teaching grows louder, and when obedience to Christ becomes costly, Scripture remains firm and unchanging. We are not called to invent new truth, but to remain in the truth once delivered to the saints. Let the Word of God shape your mind, steady your heart, and guide your steps. Christ preserves his people through his Word, and he will be faithful to carry his work in you to completion. Join us next week for part two with Pastor Gus. We would also like to ask you to partner with us as we reach across the state of Alaska on radio and, Lord willing, TV as well. Everything helps when it comes to making sure more and more people have the chance to hear the gospel of Christ. For there is no other message of salvation on earth. As Christ continues to change lives, we ask you to visit us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org. to help us in the way of donations, as we aim to ensure that more people have the opportunity to know Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection.